I've got lots of things to carry, so bear with me one moment. And I'm just going to bring my laptop over here. Today, or this morning so far, if you could check my blood pressure right now or check my heart rate, it would probably be about twice the normal or perhaps twice the safe limit. I'm probably on the verge of collapsing because modern technology just, does the most amazing things. We've got a few slides to look at today, and I had everything set up this morning, all nicely saved, laptop was working fine, brought it here, and for some reason it didn't seem to want to do anything at all. And then, of course, as we were driving to church, my wife said to me, "Have you brought them on a memory stick?" And actually, the whole object was to bring them on a memory stick, bring them on the laptop as a backup. And I brought the backup and didn't bring the principal method. And I've spent the last sort of 15 minutes trying to get my mobile phone to hook up to my laptop and email things across, and it didn't go, then it did go, then he didn't receive it. Anyway, I think he now has it. Yes, he's nodding. So, I'm calmer. Oh, deep breaths. This morning, hopefully we can... Actually, are our preteens here this morning? Yay. Hello, preteens! You are our very special guest. Oh, I've almost forgotten something. Bear with me one moment. My lovely assistant, I've got a little package. If you can bring my jacket across... Actually, I left my jacket up at the front for a reason. I couldn't find it and then found it eventually and thought, well, let me put it on the chair over there to keep it safe, forgetting that I've actually got things in the pockets I need. Stressful morning. I'm glad I realise now and not later on. Thank you very much. I said my lovely assistant. I actually meant my wife, but that was... In case you're visiting this morning, that is not my wife. Right. This morning we're going to talk about weeds. Weeds. Now, we all know the parable of the sower pretty well. And we all read the parable of the sower. But, sometimes we can often miss the next few parables. And one of the ones that I'm reading, I think, what's he on about here? The parable of the weeds. That's what I want us to focus on this morning. And I want us to ask us a couple of questions. But let's read Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we'll take it up from verse 24. So this is just after he's told the parable of the sower. And it says in verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go up and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Now, weeds are a very subjective thing. In that, what is a weed? And I as I tend to do when my computer is actually working, I had a look around to try and get an idea of what weeds are, and I looked at sort of Gardener's World and thought, what's a weed? And there's an article I found in some Chicago Tribune newspaper, and I was going to make a point here about Chicago and Mish, it's our anniversary, so they're away. So I've missed that. But anyway, here's a few little choice words about weeds. And it says, plants described as weeds are by nature and definition harmful and injurious to other valued plants in the same environment. So some people say that weeds are things that will actually cause harm or injury or damage to other plants that you actually want to have. Other people say that weeds are really just plants that you don't want to have. And that kind of creates a slightly circular definition. Like, what is and what is not a weed? I was in my garden few weeks back, gardening, as I do from time to time. My wife and I have this thing about the gardening that I really, really want the garden. I love gardens, but I'm not that fired up all the time about doing the gardening. So our weeds had grown a bit long, and I hadn't done very much about them, and I went out there to go and uproot all the weeds. And then make my life very easy by putting down what they call weed control fabric. It's this plastic, or not plastic, this sort of synthetic sheeting you put down over the ground, you cover it with wood chips, and then when it comes to weeding's so easy, you just pick out the odd one that pops up here and there, rather than the forest of weeds that seems to spring up in my garden, at least overnight. So as I was busy pulling up things, I got to this particular plant, and I thought, I've got no idea whether this is a weed or whether or not this is a plant that Dawn actually wants me to keep. And I must confess, I don't know if she's noticed. Actually, sermon's always a good time to confess, but... when I did this, not this time, but the last time, I pulled up a couple of weeds, or at least I thought they were weeds, and then I thought afterwards, I think that's actually a plant she wants. Let me kind of just hope she doesn't notice. And I'm confessing my sin, because she hasn't noticed. Either that or they actually were weeds and I didn't know. But the truth is, it's difficult to tell what's a weed, what's not a weed sometimes. Can we have our first image? Right. Who knows what that is? Is that a weed or not a weed?
Weed.
It's a weed. So who says it's a weed? Hands up. Is it a weed or a wildflower? Wildflower? In my household, that is a prized possession. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because of Oscar. Now, you may not know, but I'm told that there is another member of my family, and I've disowned this particular member. He's not really my family. But his name is Oscar. He's not a mammal, he's a reptile. He's a tortoise. And we have a tiny little tortoise, a little miniature tortoise called Oscar. And do you know what one of Oscar's favourite delicacies happens to be? Dandelions. So in our garden, maybe a weed in your garden, in my garden, they are like gold dust. We try to cultivate them. Okay, next slide. What about this one? Is that a weed, a plant, something you would want? Japanese knotweed. Ah, that kind of gives it away. One of the most destructive plants. Okay, move on to the next one. Weed or a wheat? Sorry, or a... Oh dear. Oh dear. Yes, I think you'll probably guess that that's wheat now, won't you? Yes, it's actually unripened wheat. Okay, the next one. I'm keeping quiet for this one. What do you think? So, weed or... Actually, that is a very valuable crop. That's rice. Okay, what about this one? Next one. Brambles? These horrible, terrible things that grow in your garden. Actually, those aren't brambles. Raspberries. That's a raspberry plant. And I'm waiting to harvest the raspberries growing in my garden, even as we speak. And I think, is this final? I think this is the final one. Yes. What's that? Yes, the common garden nettle that we've probably all been stung by many, many times. I know one chap who actually rode his bicycle into a whole patch of them, and now he doesn't understandably, like nettles very much. But sometimes it can be difficult to actually distinguish between what's a weed, what's a plant, what's something valuable. And, you know, the first question I want you to ask yourself this morning is not which one are you, because that's too easy. You know, this parable says that a sower, that's God or Jesus, sows seed in this field. Now, the field, he says, later on as we read the explanation, is the world. And it talks about wheat growing up. I think, in many respects, we are all that wheat. In fact, why don't we just read that now? And probably make it simpler. If we we skip down to chapter 13, verse 36. It says, then he left the crowd and went into his house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. You know, this is really a parable about the whole world. It's not about a church, but it's really about the whole world. And that in the world, there'll be children of God, sons of God, and also sons of the evil one. But I want to say, if you're a Christian, I'm not going to be asking you this morning, are you a weed or a wheat? Or wheat. But what I want to ask you this morning, if you're a Christian, is, are you living like wheat, or are you living like a weed? You know, the interesting thing about weeds, and the particular weed that people think was sown in this field, was something called, I've got the name, it's a form of barley. I've actually got an image of it, which I will show you. Can we go to the second slide? Yep, the first image. We there? Okay. Now, one of those is wheat. One of those is the weed. And it's a weed called darnel. Which do you think is the wheat and which do you think is the weed? So the gold coloured one is the wheat? You think the gold one's the wheat? A weed. And the green one is the wheat? Now you do remember that the last image you saw of wheat, what colour was that?
Green.
Well, I'll put you out of your misery. I was thinking to myself that if you saw the image of green wheat, you would think that Mark, on this occasion, also had an image of green wheat. But then I thought you would think that I would think that, so think that it would be the gold one. I'll put you out of your misery. The one on the green one is the fake stuff, the weed. The golden coloured stuff is the real wheat. Now, the only problem is that, as you saw in the earlier image, with wheat, when it's young, it's green. And it can be very difficult to tell the difference between the two. And you know, the truth is, sometimes, with us as Christians, if you looked at your life, if someone else looked at your life objectively, would it be difficult to tell the difference between you living as wheat or between other people living as weeds? And that's the real question, I think, that I want to take away from this parable. What am I actually living like? You know, I feel like I've been going through lots of emotions recently. I try to tend to be quite stoic and unemotional. And that's not because I watch Star Trek and like Mr. Spock. But just over the years, that's what I tend to be like. I tend to be not terribly emotional. In fact, when I told my mum that there was a sister in the church, before I got married, before I started dating, there was a sister in the church I actually liked. She was very surprised that I would, you know, have any sense of emotion or... And of course, then she met Dawn and she thought, of course, I understand why you've just overpowered my son, overwhelmed him. But, you know, recently it feels like I've been struggling with my emotions and keeping my emotions in check and not letting my emotions control me, but making sure that I control my emotions. And, you know, you look at your lives and you say, well, what is it? How can I, if I look at my life, what are some of the things in my life that I look at that can help me understand, am I living as wheat should live, or am I living like weeds? Now, the particular form of weed, this darnel wheat, this particular form of wheat, what it does is, a weed, as it grows, its roots will actually entangle themselves with the real wheat. It will start to suck the life that should be going into the wheat, it'll be taking it into itself and growing, so your wheat won't grow as well. But there's always a risk that if you simply pull it up, you actually uproot the immature wheat as well. So the object is, leave them, let them both grow, and hopefully the wheat will grow, the weed will grow, but then you can separate them later on. And the real question is, how are you growing? What are you doing? How are you developing in your Christian life? Do you know, I remember having a conversation once with Adrian Hill, because I've got certain characteristics which don't sort of lend very well to communal, fellowship-type interactions. I think very highly of my own opinions, sometimes much too highly. And I can often have the tendency to... I will think to myself, I need to be self-controlled, I need to be godly, I need to be respectful, and... But if someone suggests something that I don't particularly agree with, particularly if it's not the letter of the scripture, if it's kind of close, but it's not 100% in line with a particular scripture, I'll sit back and think, that's interesting. And, you know, Dawn and I have this discussion when we have disagreements. And actually, because of my emotions recently, we've been having a few more disagreements than we should be having, or we usually have. And that's down to me just being too emotional. But, you know, we often have these discussions, and she'll point things out which are probably about 80, 90% true. But I focus on the 10% that isn't true. And it's not accurate enough. And then I end up, you know, building the case for the defence, as lawyers tend to do. And I have to switch that instinctive response off. But, you know, I find that creeping over sometimes into my Christian life. And Adrian once said to me, you know, it's really easy to be an inspector, but it's so much harder to be a builder. You know, it's so easy to go up to something that someone else has built, and there might be a few flaws here, a few weaknesses here or there, but it's so easy to point out, oh, you've not done that just right, oh, that doesn't sound good, oh, look at that, oh, that's really dodgy, you didn't paint that properly. And then we ignore the actual solid structure that the person's built. And what we say is negative, what we say is discouraging, what we say is self-focused. And, you know, I've got to, it's a tendency that I have to, and sadly it's part of my job. As a lawyer, you tend to look for weaknesses rather than you look to understand other people's strengths, and you try and make sure they're not brought out into the open, but you look for the weaknesses and you try and highlight the other side's weaknesses. And a lot of my thinking is all about what's not right, rather than what is right. You know, sometimes I can think to myself about all the different things as a fellowship that make us different, rather than all the many, many, many more things as a fellowship that actually unite us and bind us together. And you know, we've got an amazing opportunity coming up in a couple of months' time, when hopefully Corey and Angela Stuck will come and take over and start leading the South. And I think it's an amazing opportunity for all of us, because I think they can really help equip all the saints, all of us, so that we can really grow like wheat, live like wheat, and not end up living this sort of weedy kind of life. But as they come in next, hopefully they'll be with us towards the end of August, and then they'll start their role at the beginning of September. You know, we've got to look at our hearts and say, how are we going to be? I need to look at my heart and say, how am I going to be? Am I going to grow like this golden ear of corn and actually produce something constructive? Or am I going to be this sort of fake wheat that is just there to suck the life out of people? And you know, truth is, in the fellowship, there are some people who spend more time sucking the life out of the rest of us rather than doing things that are positive and constructive. And you're just going to ask yourself, what do I really want to do? You know, who really wants to be a weed? Unless it's called a dandelion and it's a valued, treasured weed. But nobody wants to. You want to be something spectacular, don't you? You want to be something that grows and the people look at and think, yes, I like that. Not something that people look at and think, well, don't want to go near that, the stinging nettles in the garden. You know, when I'm gardening, no matter what I do, I manage to get stung by stinging nettles. I can put on my tracksuit bottoms, I can put on my long sleeve shirt, I can put on my gloves, I'll do everything some way, somehow. In fact, the last time I managed to get stung by stinging nettles, I had some caught in my gloves, and then when I was sweating, went to brush my forehead. You know, you can't seem to get away from them. And I've got this thing about stinging nettles. When they sting you, it's very unpleasant. And you know, truth is, when people are like me, like I've been before, when we're just about being inspectors, we're just about being critical, it's not very pleasant. And it certainly won't be very pleasant for Corey and Angela as they come and join us in the South. But you know, my tendency when I get stinging nettles is I just think, don't touch them, because it just spreads the goo all around. And literally that's what happens. If you scratch, it spreads all the poison and it spreads throughout your skin and it makes it worse. If you just leave them, it hurts, but it goes away. And in many respects, that's exactly what this parable of the weeds is all about. You leave the weeds in place so they do the least amount of damage. But you know what? I don't want to be one of the people in the fellowship that does any damage at all. I want to be a builder. I want to help make things grow and change so that we can all do what we want, and that's get closer to God and get to heaven. Do you know the other thing when it comes to are we living like wheat or are we living like weeds is pretty simple. Turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5. And in verse 16 it says, "So I say to you, live by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." You know, when the end of times, when the last day comes, when we take our last breath and we breathe our last breath and close our eyes for the last time and go to be with God, only those who have avoided the acts of the sinful nature will go. Only those people will be the wheat. But if we decide that we want to live like weeds, you may well be wheat right now, but if you decide you want to live like a weed, then you'll be treated like a weed. You know, there's no magic recipe for us as Christians. You don't become a Christian and then that's it, you're fine forever. We've got to stay faithful. And you know, when it comes to making choices, I think sometimes we make the wrong ones. Do you know, the book of Luke chapter 16. Something I shared with the teens. Actually, it was double. I can't find it right now. Apologies. But it talks about making the right choices and the right decisions. It says that the things that are valued in the eyes of the world are not things that are valued in God's eyes. And you know, sometimes, particularly, I think when we're younger, we can make the wrong decisions. We can choose the wrong things. And sometimes the acts of the sinful nature can look great. They can look really pleasing, really appealing, really exciting, really enjoyable. But we've got to make sure that as Christians, to live like wheat, we're going to be faced with spiritual choices and we're going to be faced with earthly choices. And we've got to make sure that we are choosing the right thing. Do you know, when it comes to sin, no one takes away your free will. No one does. Now, as well as my other flaws, I've got a real, real, desperately bad, horrendously awful sweet tooth. And when I come home in the evenings and I have something to eat, I just need something sweet. And it doesn't matter what it is. Well, it does, because sometimes I have something and it's not good enough and I'll go for something else and before I know it, I've had a whole load of stuff. And if I'm feeling a bit emotional, it's a bit worse, because then I'll eat quite a few chocolate bars and, you know, stuff my face full of ice cream. And I do it, I'm sorry to say. But I've got this kind of sweet tooth, which isn't good. But do you know what happens to me the next morning? After there was a day a couple of weeks ago where I think I had two Snicker bars in immediate succession. And then the next morning I thought to myself, I shouldn't have eaten those, you know. There was just... And it's as if I'd lost control. But I hadn't. It was my choice. I got up, I remember it so vividly, because they weren't even on public display. They were hidden behind a cupboard, you know, behind flour and all sorts of things. They were kept away so they wouldn't be so obvious for me to spot. I found them, as if I could sniff them out. And I ate them, both of them. And I felt, I had the choice. And you know, guys, when it comes to sin, when it comes to even being an inspector or a builder, being critical, being positive, being constructive, being helpful, having quiet times, avoiding sin, you always have a choice. That's what I said to the teens a couple of weeks ago. We always have a choice. And we've really got to learn and grow and start to make those right choices. You know, I think about the things. I thought to myself in one of my emotional moods, what would make me happy? And I thought a few million pounds would make me happy. But why? I've got the greatest gift in the entire world. I've got God's Spirit. I've got salvation. All the money in the world couldn't buy that. So why should some cash make me feel I'm happy now? It's a lie from the evil one who's out there sowing those bad seed. And the seeds out there in the world right now trying to make us think that these things will make us happy. They won't. Do you know, back to Matthew 13. Can we have our next slide? And we will finish. Oh, crumbs, I'm running late. See, there's a little parable that follows on from the parable of the mustard seed. Sorry, parable of the weeds, and it's called the parable of the mustard seed. And it says in verse 31, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. You know, we have our next slide up. Do you know what that is? That's a mustard plant. That starts with a mustard seed. Now bear with me one moment. I need to get the props from my pocket. Now, I don't know if you, this is maybe something that only lawyers know, but this parable of the mustard seed isn't so much about how big things can grow, but you look at that, and a little tiny mustard seed actually grows quite big. This parable of the mustard seed is actually more about saying you start off with something really small, and then what that small thing is, if it does what it's supposed to do, it will actually grow into something huge. You know, with all of us, we start small as Christians. And we're supposed to grow into something that is to God's glory. Something huge. But the whole object of a plant is to grow. And no matter what you do, you will grow. You'll either grow and be wheat, or you'll grow and you'll be more and more like weeds. But if you're not making the right choices in life, as you grow, you'll become more and more like a weed and less like wheat. Now, in the legal system, to represent something really small, we talk about peppercorns. Anybody heard of a peppercorn rent? Yes. When you get a lease, generally a commercial lease, sometimes you pay a big chunk of money for the lease, and then rather than paying a regular monthly, yearly, or whatever rent, you simply pay a nominal, small amount. And rather than that being a monetary amount, they call it a peppercorn. And literally, it means a peppercorn. Well, I've got a bag of peppercorns here. Very small. Can anybody see this peppercorn? Very small, but it grows. Mustard seed, very small, but grows. Now, I'm going to try and illustrate that something really small, you know, that small things that we need to understand and appreciate that no matter how small we are, that we need to grow. We need to grow as Christians. Now, I've got a crisp £5 note. Now, I must apologise, if your age doesn't end in teen, this is not for you. So, teenagers, peppercorn. I'm going to throw this peppercorn up in the air. Whoever catches it, gets this. Now, do you want to move over this side so we don't scatter all those chairs? If you want to take part, please come out. Right, we've only got one girl. Okay. Are you ready? Set, go. What? Oh, we're still here. Oh, sorry. Okay, we'll try that again. Ready? One, two, three. No, no, no. The object was to catch it. Anybody catch it?
No.
Should we try that one more time? Tell you what, I'll give you a few more this time. Nobody? Oh, well, have a seat. I was fairly confident I'd be keeping my money. So confident I was tempted. I thought, should I do £50? And I thought, actually, what if someone does catch it? But you know, you may be sitting in the fellowship today and thinking, you know, I'm not very much. I'm still growing as a little tiny weed. Well, do you know what? It's weed. Wheat. Hopefully you're not growing as weeds. But we're all supposed to be growing. You plant a seed, and what does it do? Tiny little seed grows into something huge. And what I really want us to say is, are you doing that? Turn to the book of Hebrews and we'll finish here. Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11, it's a whole chapter about faith. And if I had a bit more time, I'd read more of it, but I can't. My apologies. But if we take it up in verse 32, this is after the writer of Hebrews has told the story of great men and women of faith. He says in verse 32, and what more shall I say? I don't have time, as is my problem at the moment. I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses were turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Do you know, weaknesses being turned into strength. We all have weaknesses. You probably learned about a few of my weaknesses today. But are you in your Christian life, are you saying to yourself, what are my weaknesses right now? You know, for me, I've got to get control of my emotions at the moment. I've got to be self-controlled. I've got to let my joy come from being saved and from God's Spirit and not from earthly things. Because, you know, the parable of the sower is all about the good seed being sown and then getting choked by the earthly stuff. And I think, you know, for me, work and all sorts of stuff are just a bit of a challenge at the moment. And it's a daily battle to get my heart in the right place and to keep doing what's right. But praying every day, studying my Bible, sharing my faith, I'm growing. I'm turning these weaknesses back into a strength. What about you in your life? If you had to write down three things, three areas of weakness, what would they be? And how long have you had them? Because we're supposed to be growing. And the truth is, if you're not turning your weaknesses into strengths, do you know what's happening? You're developing more and more weaknesses. You're going to grow no matter what. But we've got to make sure that we are living and growing like wheat, not like weeds. And we've really got to make sure that we grow like mustard seeds. You know, God can do amazing things through every single one of us. And we're going to have an amazing opportunity in a couple of months' time to really have all of us challenged a whole lot more, inspired a whole lot more, called with greater clarity and hopefully with a bit more time. It's a real opportunity for all of us to turn our weaknesses into strengths and to grow. And I pray that we will take those opportunities. So, thank you for your time this morning. Let's be and grow and live like wheat, not like weeds. And let's grow like mustard seeds. Thanks for your time.